this what we most our definition and what we mostly call what this class is about, church. Our current definition, no matter how long you've been in church, this generation for sure, and many before us, hundreds of years before us, has evolved or turned into a safe haven for religious activity. So it's a safe place. Well, you know, if we keep judgment strong, then those that are being judged won't come. Therefore, if you get on the right side of the law, then you have a safe place to be without anybody else being there, because you know they're not coming, because you're going to judge them when they get there. So, you know, some of y'all come to Word Life, some of y'all go to World Church, some of y'all go to other churches, then people watching online. So you know when you walk into your church that you won't have to worry about anybody looking at your purse sideways, right? Or nobody having their hand in your pocket trying to steal your wallet. Or you know you ain't got to worry about sitting next to somebody with a knife ready to stab somebody. So you're pretty safe, right? And everything is pretty comfortable. And so we go along about our normal way of business because we believe that life is about being safe and comfortable, right? Tell the truth about it. I know you're trying to see where I'm going right now. But if you tell the truth about it, we live our lives. We go to school. We get jobs. We make money. We get married. We have all these different things for some sense of safety and comfortability, right? And it was never meant to be that way. How do you say, well, I want to relax? Well, yeah, you can relax, but your relaxation has to come from something else. If you read, if you really read, and I try to get people to really read Jesus. He was never in a safe environment. You remember when Lazarus died? We read that story quick and you get excited about Lazarus. Before Lazarus died, Jesus had left that place because they were trying to kill him. If you go read it, he left from where Lazarus and he loved Mary and Martha. And Lazarus, that was his people. That was his, but he had to leave from over there because what he was saying and who he was being was too challenging for them that they were ready to stone him. You got to read. So now when he's in another place and word comes to him that Lazarus has died, he's deciding to go back to handle business. And his disciples ask him, are you going back over to that place where they're about to kill you? It wasn't built on a safe or comfortable situation, but yet it was safe and comfortable. But the safety and the comfort was not in those things that are external, because those can be taken away from you. So I can take this from you. But if it's hid in you, can't nobody take that. Remember he talked to Mary and Martha? You remember Mary and Martha? She said Mary had chosen that good thing that what? Can't be taken away from her. Because on the inside. So Jesus' safety and his comfort came from not in all the rules that he was following, all the things that were around him, but his safety came in the comfort of who he knew who he was. And that, you remember they said, Pontius Pilate said, you know, I got the power to let you go or to kill you. He said, you can't take my life. So you couldn't take my life, you want it. Why you can't take it? He said, well, yeah, he could have hit him. No, he couldn't take his life. You can't take something that somebody gave already. Right. How you going to steal from me if I gave it to you? Right. Y'all not him. So this is why he said, he sue you for your coat, give him your cloak also. Actually go a mile, go two with him. Slap you on one cheek, turn the other. Now we get the context of what he's saying. Because you can't kill a dead man. And you cannot take from me what I've already given to you. You can't take my life, I done gave it already. Are you understanding me? So now, the comfort is not in, I heard a statement the other day, boy, and it's powerful. You cannot, humility cannot be humiliated. Because I'm already humble, how you gonna humiliate me? Jesus was playing by another set of rules. So this is why he had no problem sitting next to the person that had a knife. You can't take my life. I sat by you knowing you had a knife. I sat by you knowing you was a thief. Because I know you can steal it out of my pocket, but you can't steal it out of my heart. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? This is why Jesus didn't meet anybody that he felt, oh my God, we got to pray in tongues for them. We got to put some oil on them because they got real sin on them. He didn't see that because he was actually giving his life. No greater love than this a man or what? And so the safety and comfortability that we built the walls, we know our elders and we know our brothers and, you know, we know our sisters in Christ and our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we built the level of comfortability that causes you to be relaxed and weak. Your muscles don't get challenged if you don't go to the gym. Huh? Your muscles don't get challenged if it's never a weight. If there's never any pressure that comes against you, you don't know how strong you are. You can scream and talk about how strong you are, and the Lord is in me and the Lord is upon me. And it doesn't matter until something shows up. It doesn't matter until you had a chance to be unlovable. You don't really know what love is until you've had a chance to be unlovable. Right? And then you fight through that. I didn't know God loved me until I did something despicable and he loved me through it and was talking to me. They were telling me, God loves you. Okay, cool. I get it. But it wasn't until I had a moment that I didn't feel loved, and I rightfully so probably shouldn't have been loved, and he loved me more than it was before I did the thing. The Bible says, to he who is without honor, bestow more honor. We skip this one, don't we? The one that less honorable, bestow more honor. That means don't give so much honor to the one that you think by your definition is honorable, but there are some that are less honorable and they the ones that need the honor. Who needs something to drink? If he thirsty, he got a bottle of water. Well, he needs to give the honor to the one that's less honorable because they don't have any honor. And be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatever man. What's going to happen? So you want something out of somebody, what you got to do? You don't run from them. You don't ostracize. You don't put them to the side. You don't tell them everything that's wrong about them. So we built this safe circle of safety. And we're calm and we're comfortable and there's no worries. And what this breeds, this is what I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you about the church, all right? Are we listening? What this breeds is a level of now you're coming to church to try to get what you want. What else are we going to do? You ain't got nothing to give. You ain't got nobody to give to. So everybody can show up. The Bless Me Club. Show me your will, Jesus. Lay your hands on me. I need a blessing. Well, you're not bad people because of that. Because what else is there to do? You ain't got nowhere to use nothing else. You surround yourself by safety. Jesus was never in a safe place. And I seen him escape sometime, too. You read about him. He escaped. They said about the throne room. They say Jesus escaped through the crowd. A couple times they say he disappeared. You know Jesus was a real one. Because you remember when he walking on the water? We like that and we see that Peter and all them walking on the water. You go read before that. Jesus told his disciples, bodyguards, whatever you want to call them, armor bearers, y'all go over there. Y'all get on the boat and leave me. And he stayed by himself with the people. With the throngs of people. Jesus wasn't worried about his life. But most of, y'all know it, and so we're going to tell the truth in here tonight. Everybody say yes. Yes. Come on, say yes, we're going to tell the truth. Yes. Online, come on, say yes, we're going to. Y'all say it with him, say yes, we're going to tell the truth. Yes. Y'all know we praying for what we want and we trying to get comfortable in life. I'm trying to find what's mine. I'm trying to get, who are you already? So we built this circle of safety. And I guess my question is, and I have a question that's on the back of this, and we're going to read this in Matthew 17, again, 16. And, you know, we go there, but I got to show you something different there tonight. But this is the main scripture for church. All right? Matthew 16 is the main. I don't care what nobody. This is the main scripture for church because Jesus talked about how he going to build a church. Okay? Who the one? Come on, who the one? Come on, say it. Who is the one? Jesus. That's the one that laid down the platform for what it's supposed to be, right? He's the one that is the express image of the Father in the flesh, right? Right? He's the one, our Savior, all that stuff, right? Okay. This is what he says. But I guess my question is before this, are you really ready to be church? Like, what you here to be trained for? We're the training center. Trained for what? To be a good preacher? To be a good reverend? To know how to write an outline? To know how to give a good message? Oh, that ain't even the one right there. Y'all think the lecture, the preaching is the part? No. It's when you're in the dirt. It's when you're in the trenches. It's when you're in the slums and you have to give your life for another. So I got a question for you, and this is a good question. Are you really ready to be what we claiming that we are? Christians. Right? The epitome of your walk with Christ, the way that you became a Christian was by accepting who? Christ. Well, what did he do? What do you say? What do we have to believe? Come on, Romans 10, 9, 10. We say that. Come on, y'all know. What do we have to believe? Come on, answer me. I'm asking. What do we have to believe? What's the? Come on, because I got to, we got to pray. We got to do something here. If y'all can't tell me. Y'all looking at me like, what do? I don't know what it is to be a Christian right now. No, what is it? What is the basis of your Christianity right now? What? He did what? Who died? Oh, so the basis of your Christianity, believe that somebody died for you. Okay. And he did what else he did? He rose, right? But you know, ain't no rising without a. So, okay, we got that one, right? I'm not trying to, because it's funny. It's funny that a lot of times in Christianity and in church, we just blindly believe things without context. Like you don't even know that the Jews were an oppressed people at the time. So you got to realize that he came from the most oppressed part of the oppressed people. So you got the hood, and then he at the slums of the bottom of the hood. And this is where they say the Savior of the world come from. You got no context. They are under oppression from the Roman government. Context. So now when he speaks, you got to realize context, right? So what's the basis of Christianity? He died. Who died? Who?
Jesus.
Okay. What's his last name? That ain't really his last name, but I know that we say it, right? But we Christ, right? 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 He died for our sins, right? So our belief in who we are is on somebody dying. Who is Jesus? Son of God. So, all right, we got identity. Son of God decides to die. The prince. He the prince of heaven. And we, you know, God, you know how we look at it, right? We always look at the rankings, right? So God the king, he got off his throne to come down here in the same likeness of weak flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, and became obedient unto death. So now this guy who we basing our lifestyle, our Christian lifestyle on, He said that, like, our basis is on dying. For somebody that might not deserve it in your mind. I heard somebody say the other day, the man on the cross, Jesus on the cross, they got the guys next to him, and the thief said, look, he didn't even say, can you save me? He didn't say, can you pray with me? Would you save my soul? He just said, remember me. There was no quotations, there's no, remember me. He said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. He's up on this cross. And it don't seem like that's where he's supposed to be. And so you right now in 2019 would see whoever you think is great be crucified and think something gone wrong. You'd probably be down there talking about they probably was in sin anyway. Oh, look, they made the wrong decision. Well, you don't realize that there's no resurrection without a. Wow, that we're so backwards in our thinking. Wow, that we're so flipped because the world has conformed it to a certain way of safety and comfortability in what they say. And you don't even know that everything you've been trying to get, you got to die for it. Everything you're trying to be, you got to die for it. Ain't no other way. There's only one way. How many things needful?
One thing.
Yep, to realize who you are, and that's what you got to do. But it's easy to back up. It's easy to backpedal a little bit. And, you know, pray my way through it. You can't pray your way through it. You got to die through it. I'm anointing my way. You can't anoint your way through it. You got to die to it. It's on the way. There's nothing else. This is it. This is the message. Get it? So are we really ready to be who we say that we are? I'm a Christian. You a Christian? Come on. Come on. Come on, Christians. Are you a Christian? If you're a Christian, you don't want to own it now, huh? Come on. I don't know if I'm really a Christian. I like going to church. No. This is what you're saying. Who's your Savior? Is he really? Because if he's a Savior, then you act like your Savior. The works that I do. And what kind of works? I mean, I got to do more than what you did. And it might be greater because it may be more difficult because you got more access. See, Jesus at the time, he walking around and he worried. I mean, they just murdering people in the streets. Ain't no protection. Police looking out for you. Ain't none of that. Yeah, you ain't no lights at night. Wild animals walking everywhere. You walk around in the dust with sandals on. You gotta realize where Jesus was at. He wasn't a prestigious man with a chariot. He's talking from a different place. Are you prepared to be the church? That's what the church looked like. So Jesus says this. He started reading Matthew 16. And verse 13, when he came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked disciples, we read this before, right? Whom do men say that I what? I'm going to read verse 13. Just read the part from whom? Ready, go. Y'all there? Come on. Matthew 16, 13. Read the whole thing. Ready, go. Ready, read. Caesarea Philippi. Just go ahead and jump through it. Yes. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and other Jeremiah is one of the prophets. And he said unto them what? Come on, y'all gotta keep up now. But he said to them, what? Verse 15. But who do you say? Who do you say? Now he's asking you who you say that he is, because you need to know, because when you know, you know. You know, it's Damon, if you know, then you know. Right? So I can't come out here and start telling you stuff. You ever ask somebody, apostle, I'm gonna call him dad because I'm different. I'd be at home with him time, and he would walk in that room and he asked questions that you could not answer. Like, or he'd ask a question that can have 1,000 answers. It's like, you know, what's the greatest thing you need to learn in the Word of God? Well, right now, you know, you can say. So we in there like, I need to learn how to pray, you know, and love. And you can name Holy Ghost, you can name so many different things. He was like, no, you don't know what it is. I'd be like, I started getting smarter when I got older. What's the greatest thing you need to learn in the Word of God? I said, well, what is the greatest thing we need to learn in the Word of God? I just get quiet, because I know you know the answer. There's something in your head that we're not gonna get it. Unless we read something just now and it was in there, we are not gonna get it. Right? So What is the greatest thing, right? But I understood why he did it, because there's a lot of preaching and a lot of telling and a lot of telling and showing and pointing that can happen, and you'll never leave with any results. I took a class today. I'm gonna tell the truth to myself. New little platform we're using here at the office. It's a 3-hour class. I ain't been in school a long time. So my attention span ain't really there for it. I can do it, but I'm kind of interested in some other things, right? But I'm doing it because I got to, because I'm instructed to do what I got to do. So I follow instructions. Just be honest, I'm telling myself, I don't know what that woman was talking about. I was just clicking a little check when she said, you ready for the next part? Check. And I'm let me log into the program. I'm going to start clicking around. I'm going to figure it out. Right? Like, pass it to me, and then we'll figure it out, right? I don't need to watch you dribble. I can watch you dribble, but give me one too so I can kind of. If I don't ever give you a chance to do this, then I'm not really teaching you. I'm showing you how good I can do it. Don't ever forget that one. So now, I can't just tell you, because you're going to be like, yeah, amen. You know, we do in church. We're going to say amen to everything. I heard a man in the funeral this morning say, the whole time, even when nothing was being said. I sat there and listened to the man. And he, nothing was being said. It was like break time. Like, you know, you're breaking between going to the scripture. And I was like, you have, and I had to go look at him. I went sat behind him. I'm gonna be honest. I sat behind him and I looked at him and I said, like I was like, is this some kind of condition or what? Something wrong or whatever? Nothing wrong with him. He's just so used to being in the motion. And he know when you step in that church, get you by. Can I get an amen? Yeah, we know what to do. Even if you agree or not, you're going to say, amen. The Lord is good. God is good. Yeah, yeah. And all the time, in Jesus' name, we got it down. So it's very easy for me to come and tell you one of the most powerful things you'll ever hear in your life. But you're so used to the ritual and the rigmarole and the tradition that you're going to say yes without it hitting your heart. So now I'm going to come in church like this and say, so Jesus said, I've been teaching y'all a while. And so, you know, you can't say I didn't teach it. But now I'm going to come in today. We're going to start this lesson different. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And of course, they still were saying all the stuff that they knew to say. Some say, thou art John. Jesus was supposed to shut up after that. If you read the context, Jesus was supposed to be cool and be like, well, all y'all wrong. This is who I really am. But he took it to another level. Because they say, thou art John the Baptist, what he said, and Elias and one of the prophets, right? Mind you, that's what they saying. So we're supposed to, the quiz is supposed to be over. Y'all know I watch this. All right. Let me go another one. I was talking to my nephew one day. We were talking. And I noticed this when I'm talking to different people. And I noticed it about people. And then I noticed it about myself, or how I used to be. That it's very easy to try to find the right answer for something. Mm-hmm. When you've been in church for a while. You know the thing they say to get somebody off your back. Like, how much pressure you really be under? When the word of God coming forward, like when somebody, how much pressure you really, really be under? You know you can. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Do you really know what I'm talking about right now? Tell it to me. Explain it to me. Explain the revelation behind what I just said. I know I said that sentence, but what does that really mean? You don't get that much pressure. Right? I'm talking about as a whole. Like to hold you down and put, like, you better tell me what it is. You don't get that much pressure, right? And it's hard to do that in a masses of people. It's not until you get on a one-on-one conversation and be like, you won't be listening to nothing nobody be saying. You ain't heard the pause at all, did you? That's a true statement. So now, the pressure's supposed to go off, but Jesus says, no. So he said, y'all cool. Y'all got the answer. Y'all got the right answer. Y'all got the first responder answer. Y'all got the right answer. Then it'd be like, you know, this man's apostle walking here and walk up to you and be like, what I taught about Sunday? You give the subject. Right? And so you get a subject quick because it's like, because the pressure on. And all you want to do right then is get the pressure off you, not let the pressure come in you. And the pressure is only to bring something else out of you that you don't know is in you. So you're so quick to get the weight off you. Get off and bleed. That's how we are with life too. Tribulations and things come. And we want to pray it off. No, don't pray it off. Go through it. Because it's building something in you. Most of our prayers are trying to get away from the stuff. We would have prayed crucifixion away. We'd have prayed in tongues it away. Y'all know we would have. And we would have said, the Lord told me to leave and not die. So we don't want to go through anything. But the pressure comes on, because pressure do one, two things. Bust a pipe or make a diamond. A coal ain't nothing but a piece of coal that had enough pressure on it. And that pressure I'm talking about ain't the pressure you can apply with your hands. It's some godly pressure that comes from natural. So now you ask me what I taught on Sunday. You say, oh, well, yeah, I got the subject, you know. Well, what that mean? What's the next thing you're going to do? Tell the truth what you're going to do. You're going to go in your notes. Yeah, you're going to flip over and tell him something else that he said to you. Huh? We do it all day long. And sometimes we don't grow. So here's Jesus. Some say Elijah down the bed. Oh, boy, you got some good answers. I'm glad. That's some prestigious people to be thinking that you are. They say you just like Billy Graham. They say you just like, oh, well, shoot, okay. You don't care about nothing. I don't care about John the Baptist, Elijah, none of them. Who you said that I am? You see, the they said at first, but then there was only one answer the second time. Because it slimmed down the choosing pool. Right? But who say you that I am? There you go, Simon Peter answered. And said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, which can be, and obviously it ended up being another good church answer. Because they already said Elias and John, and well, where else are we going to go? What other person are we going to say? Come on, who they listed in the first time? Yeah, John the Baptist, Elias, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Well, they covered everybody. John the Baptist, Elias, Jeremiah, all the other prophets. Ain't nowhere else to go, but, well, the only person we've been hearing about was the Christ. So here's Peter. Peter jump up and say, I got it, because they didn't answer to everybody else. So I got the right answer. Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, of flesh and blood, and not revealed unto thee when my Father was in heaven. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. On this rock I will build my what? Build my what? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, which means we're going somewhere to free some people, right? Because gates don't move, which means gates are not coming against the church, and we're bunkered in trying to protect what we have. But we're actually out in these streets conquering more territory. And I will give unto thee the keys. And what you need keys from, unless they got some stuff that's locked up that you got to open. Keys of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Now watch this. That, all that's cool. And we like that because it's a blessing. And the gates of hell not going to be able to prevail against me. And I got the keys. Whatever I say on earth is going to say it in heaven. How many things you done said on earth ain't nothing happened? Come on, let's be 100. How many things you didn't bind in the name of Jesus that got loose on you and stayed loose? Can we be real? Nobody don't want to be real about nothing no more. We be real. We be binding and loosing all day long and stuff be tied up and running around like we don't want it to be. Right? So but we like that one. And I'm got the keys. And, you know, build a church. Like we like that part. Right? But upon this rock, I'll build my church. I heard this on the way here, coming to class. And it says, verse 20, then he charged the disciples that they tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Right? That's important because Jesus wasn't around here trying to get notoriety. He wasn't trying to be your president or your celebrity. He wasn't trying to, don't worship me. That's not what I'm looking for. Please don't tell nobody. What kind of man is this? Right? Now, where's verse 21? From that time forth, so now, I, as Jesus, believe that you get it. Right? So because I, and this is why I know we talk about discernment and a lot of different stuff. But this is why I know you can't turn it on and turn it off when you want to. But this is why I know it's really not all what we think it is. Because it would seem that if Jesus began to tell the secrets after this, he would have known that what's about to happen is about to happen, right? But he kept on doing what he's supposed to do. He kept on saying what he knew to say. So it shows me that a lot of times we bring discernment on ourselves by our non-manifestation. Verse 21, read it. Or just read it slow. I know we be reading, trying to finish it. Read it real quick, go. Okay, so from that time, he started showing something to the disciples, obviously something that they hadn't seen, right? Keep reading. So we gotta go to Jerusalem. Oh, what? And suffer? How many things? There's many things, huh? Of who? Whoa, 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 whoa. Calm down now. Hold on, Jesus. Calm down, they're some good people. There's some good people in that synagogue. They raised us, they taught us. Because you got to realize, they're the scribes. Y'all got a good context. These are the people that's teaching the Jewish culture. These are the church leaders. They weren't church at the time. But these are the religious leaders. Hold on, Jesus. Them some good people. They're not gone. Right? I'm going to suffer many things of who? The elders, and not just the elders, God, no, the chief priests and the scribes, everybody going to hit me. All of them going to hit me. The us is everybody. The us is going to give me. The elders going to give me. The praise team going to give me. Everybody going to be on me. What's the next three words? In the last line, what's the last line? Yeah, that's good. Be raised again the third day, but all the other stuff had to happen first. Right. Now, what you don't understand is you thought gates of hell not prevail, keys of the kingdom, bound on earth, bound in heaven. You thought that was church, but that's church right there. I heard on the way here, he said, then, right after he told them all that stuff, then he began to explain to them what church really is. He began to explain to them what that rock looked like that you're going to build it on. Because from that time forward, now I see y'all paying attention. You just told me you knew who I was, which means you knew me, you must know yourself. So now from this time forward, Jesus began to show him that he got to go to Jerusalem and he got to suffer many things of the elders and the chief of priests and the scribes and be killed. This is church unusual. That's church unusual, because that would not be the way you think church about to go. What? Come on. All right, hold on. Why you got saved? Tell the truth. He touched me, saved me from a pit. No. You thought you was going to hell. Somebody told you it was hot. You wanted your keys to heaven. He might have cleaned you up and did some stuff, and you might have had a vision and whatever else, whatever your story is, I get it. All of them are magnificent. But the main thing is, you know you ain't want to go to a burning hell. That's why you got it, right? So it's a pretty good package. It's a pretty good sign up. You know, people try to sign you up for stuff, right? People say, you can get this perk and this perk, right? Because I got to give you something to make you sign up, right? Pretty good package. So I tell you, listen, you're going to get to live here, and then they got two places, one called hell that's burning, you're going to burn forever, and they got another one, everything is perfect, ain't no rain, which I like the rain sometimes too, so I hope it do rain sometime in heaven. The rain be soothing to me. I don't know about y'all, but I let it rain on my side. Right? But you got to, and all you got to do is say this prayer, and you get the ticket to heaven. I'm going to the altar. Sign me up. Give it to me, Jesus. I love that Jesus. I've been going to work to try to get streets of gold in a pearl gate. I don't want no gate. Can I get some pearls on my ears, please? What if they told you had to die? You sit in the congregation, it's like, listen, you're about to free yourself from your own life. Heard the other day, Jesus ain't come to save you from your sins, he came to save you from yourself. Because you, without this identity, is hell on earth. Why you ain't go already? Said the prayer in the name of Jesus. Come on. Confess my mouth, Lord Jesus. Believe my heart, God raised me. I believe that you're the Son of God and Jesus raised from the dead and come into my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Poof! Why that ain't happen? Right? It's saving you from yourself. Heaven is going to take care of itself. Right? Because I did read some people think they going ain't going to go. They'll be sitting by you in church and have signed up for all the everything. Depart from me, I never knew you. Because you ain't clothed me when I was naked. You ain't take me in when I was homeless. You didn't feed me when I was hungry. Well, Lord, we be at church every week. When did we see you and you ain't have no clothes on? When you saw one of them, you saw me. You didn't take them in. You didn't do it. Depart from me. He's not going to tell me depart. Not Montreal. No, 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 no. And I'm not even just doing it for that. I'm doing it because I'm changed. I'm not doing it for a reward. What did we tell you? Come on. This is the explanation right here. That you're going to have to go. And they're going to have to murder you. You're going to give your life for somebody else. Oh, he explains church right here. This church. And this us. Verse 22. Peter took him and began to rebuke him in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you in the name of yourself. Being far from thee, Lord, this is not the beginning of thee. Peter said, I ain't trying to die. Peter said, no. Lord, you tripping right now. Lord, you must have drank a little too much wine. You tripping right now, Lord. This ain't what all this was about, huh? Because they didn't tell us the Messiah was going to do all this. They said the Messiah will come in on a horse and turn the kingdom over. I am from the inside. Because where's the kingdom of God? And he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. And they got a big S. That means you the one. Y'all see the big S, huh? You know, when you write your name down on the paper, you don't write Lindra with a little L. We learned this right at the capital L. That means that's your name, right? So when the capital letter, you know, we do it with God. We don't like we think we're going to pass out if we type God with a little G. Oh, he going to strike me because I didn't call him a little G. No. He know what this is, right? Y'all know that. You text somebody and say, God told me, but you better make that big G, paint the caps. Are you going to do him? That's for real. Come on, y'all know. Are you do the him? You can't just say the little him. You got to say that. Him. Now, he don't know you already. That big ass, though. Get thee behind me, Satan. Oh, that was Satan right then. Not Satan. Peter was possessed with Satan. No. You thinking about yourself is Satan. And thou art an offense to me. That's bad enough you call me Satan. Then you told me I'm offending you. Why? For thou savorest. And I hit the word savor on my thing. It says to exercise the mind, to have understanding, to be wise, to feel, to think. So now for you have understanding and are wise, not in the things that be of God. You not feeling the things of God. You not thinking about the things of God, but those that be of men. Then Jesus said to the disciples, this is church. Y'all ready? You ready for church? Y'all ready for church? Come on, let the church say amen. Come on, let the church say amen. See, I like church like this. Like, you don't get a lot of loud amens. If you get a lot of loud amens, it's bless me. I'm gonna teach you that by preaching. It should be some challenging. If somebody tell you something already that you already agree with all the time, you just like it all the time, you ain't growing. You just going. But it also should be a challenge. Right? Let's say, let the church say amen. And he says, church, if any man will come after me, you said y'all come, y'all said y'all coming after Jesus. Now what y'all call? I am a C. I am a C H. I am a C H R I S C I A N. Christians. Come on. Raise your hands. Raise your hands. All online. Raise your hand. Now you won't own it. Raise your hand. So y'all following? Who y'all following? Answer me. Who you following? Say it like you mean it. Say it like you call him in church when you're singing. Say it like you call his name when you need something from him. Say it when you feel like, call the name of Jesus. Say it like that. Who you following?
Jesus.
You still ain't saying it the same way. Y'all know you be like, Jesus! Y'all won't say it like that right now because you about to own something right quick. You about to own something. Everybody clap your hand. You about to own something right quick. Who you following?
Jesus.
Who you with? This. Y'all following him, huh? Is this what we signed up for? When you signed up to be a Christian, put your name on the Christian list. Right? What you saying? I'm going to follow Jesus to the day I die. Huh? Answer me. I just want to make sure we're all clear. Everybody in the room. You say we following Jesus. Cool. Cool. So this is how it would look. If any man will come at me, let him deny himself. Who y'all following? Jesus. Now I say it. Who you following?
Jesus.
If any man come after me, I ain't got to read no more. If you could do that first one right there, that's really the one thing you need. You really need to deny yourself. What'd that look like? Golly, because we got so much stuff that's self. Most of what we call life is self. If any man will come after me, because y'all said you're following him, right? I just want to make sure we're saying it again, that you say you're following him, right? You signed up to follow him, right? Yes. Online, I just want to make sure you ain't got to answer me, but you can't answer me, but I'm just making sure you know you're clear. I got to keep on saying it, but you are following. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Comma, pause. Calmly think about this for a second. And take up his cross. Uh-oh, because you don't take up a cross unless you're ready to get crucified. Ain't nobody just out there carrying crosses around. Little cross we wearing on our neck ain't nothing. You carry a cross, that means you're ready to go get crucified. You're ready to get nailed to this thing. Because the only people carrying crosses were people that were going up to get crucified. This is what this man's saying. You going to follow me? You going to come after me? Deny yourself. Take up your cross. And what? What's that last part? Follow me. Y'all following Jesus, ain't you? You ain't following Jesus. You ain't following Jesus right now. I'm going to be 100% blank with you. You ain't following him. You like him. Y'all are cool. You like the benefits, but you ain't following. Don't feel bad, because I can ask this to a majority of congregation. I can ask to my next class. I can ask to the whole church, y'all church, everybody church. And under this context, ain't many people following Jesus. Verse 25, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. I don't need a Holy Spirit revelation for this one. I don't need a dove out the sky to touch me in a special way in my mind, in the right part of my brain to make me see what this is saying. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say to you, there will be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Let me say this real quick. Verse 17 through 19 is cool, so we don't get rid of that. But verse 24 through the end of that chapter is what church looks like. So I'll end with the question that I asked you at the beginning. Are you really ready for what you say you're doing? Don't play with it.